Well, the Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern joins us now, and we will get to the issues around the Defence Force. But first to our breaking news this morning on Ihu Mātou. Good morning, Prime Minister.
Good morning.
Can you confirm that the government is at least considering the option of a $40 million loan to the council to buy the land?
Currently, the only thing I can confirm is that since the King and Kingitanga handed to us some of the outcome of their work with Mana Whenua, that we have been working really hard on finding a solution. And that's work that's ongoing. So I just cannot confirm any final resolution, any details around anything beyond the fact that we, in fact, have remained involved in this issue since July and continue to work hard to find a solution.
Hypothetically then, would a solution which involved giving lending money to the council so that they were in effect the lead on this, some sort of an arrangement like this, would that hypothetically get around any potential treaty issues?
Oh, you'll know that I'm not one to engage in a hypothetical, but right, we've got a couple of principles here that we're really working to. One, of course, is the will and the desire of Mana Whenua. The other, importantly, is not undermining the treaty. And, of course, you will have heard a lot of discussion around making sure that we don't create precedent or unravel treaty settlements. And the third, of course, is that, you know, Fletchers, of course, have gone into a development arrangement here in good faith and, of course, have interests here too. So those are the principles, of course, that we've been working within, and I am confident that we'll find a way through. But again, I'm just not going to speculate.
Just one more question on this. So with the land status being changed potentially to a higher heritage rating, does that also potentially make it a more viable solution whereby the council could use it as reserve land?
Well, you're right to bring up that has changed things. So we recently had Heritage New Zealand state that they believed that the Category 1 heritage status should be extended across the area of land that Fletchers were looking at that development. And so, of course, you'll know that there were many involved with Ihu Mātou who have argued for that. Obviously, that, though, only takes effect, is brought into effect in terms of the change in what can happen on the land, if council then choose to take a number of steps. Heritage New Zealand are consulting on that status now, and they're looking to make their final determination in February next year. What we're acknowledging in the work that we're doing, of course, is that process is in train, and that heritage overlay, the proposals, of course, are obviously changing up the landscape there. So we're working hard to find a resolution.
Okay, on the Defence Force issue in terms of the ordnance clearance in Afghanistan, you were informed of this last year. Have they let you down in terms of the speed at which they have dealt with this issue?
Oh, they themselves have acknowledged that, but yes, I have expressed my frustration. It was about, from memory, Corin, to the best of my recollection, about July last year. And at that point, Defence started setting out the process they expected in order to...
And what did they tell you? Did they tell you they'll have it done and it's all sorted?
There have been slippage in the timeline.
Did they mention any possibility that lives could have been lost, albeit a possibility from New Zealand Defence Force ordnance?
No, the briefings I've received have been in line with what you've heard publicly from the Defence Force in terms of what they're able to verify. What I saw assurances yesterday from Defence Force was as soon as they are able to, of course there's snow in the area right now, clearance is only able to occur about 28 weeks of the year because of weather conditions, is that as soon as they are able to have that clearance work begin, it needs to begin. It has taken too long.
Look, the issue here to me, though, seems to be...
Corin, again, well, even back 2000, if you've heard 2015, it shouldn't have taken that long. There was a period of hiatus after a report, obviously you've heard from the United States, came through that had inaccuracies in it. And now we just need to get on with it.
Just on this issue, does it not call into question again, though, the confidence in the Defence Force when it comes to Afghanistan? They do not have a great track record on some of these issues, and it has been the media that has exposed a lot of this stuff.
Oh no! What I will say is that actually them picking up what I think was an issue that did have too much lag in it. It just did. Was in July last year. So there has been, I don't think it's fair to say that they've only, in the last couple of days picked up the issue. That hasn't been the case. I will acknowledge that this is an issue that it shouldn't have even again taken Human Rights Watch raising issues last year for this to pick up speed. There's a hiatus there that just wasn't acceptable. Sure. And wasn't defensible.
All right, on another issue, on New Zealand First, is it acceptable for a forestry company with close links to New Zealand First to apply for a $15 million loan from the Provincial Growth Fund? Is there any issue with that?
We've got to make sure that if we have anyone who is known to anyone involved in PGF applications, that we manage those conflicts of interest.
And was it acceptable that went on for 6 months?
We managed the conflict of interest was managed, Corin. So no minister from New Zealand First was involved in that decision making. For those decisions, other ministers were delegated. And importantly, I think we should acknowledge here, the application was declined. So no funding.
Sure, fair enough. Was it acceptable for media to be asking questions given this issue?
Oh, look, I have no issue with the media asking questions.
Well, why then does the Deputy Prime Minister call...
I have every confidence that this was managed, this conflict of interest was managed correctly and appropriately and in line with the expectations for the PGF.
Was it acceptable then for the Deputy Prime Minister to call journalists psychos and question whether this was a myopic, narrow dirt-digging exercise?
Two things on that. No, it's not an issue that the media ask us questions. That's their job. I have not seen the full context of what happened in that exchange with the Deputy Prime Minister. One thing I will say is, of course, he was having his integrity and his family's integrity questioned. Of course, that always, of course, will make you feel defensive. Would I have used that language? No, I wouldn't have. But I'm not the chief censor of other MPs and the exchanges they have with media or indeed protesters.
But there is a pattern here from New Zealand First MPs. We've seen language used about rednecks. We've seen language used about Bollywood and in terms of Indian immigration. Are you going to do anything about it?
And Corin, my job is to make sure, good example, if there is something like a conflict of interest, there's something that is fundamental to the management of the government, if there's an issue with the way that visas are being processed, for instance, it is my job to fix that.
But with the greatest respect, Prime Minister, you keep generally saying that's their choice of words and I wouldn't have said that, and it keeps happening.
With the greatest respect, Corin, I'm not the leader of that political party. And we are an MMP country. We will have members of the government who I do not have direct responsibility for all of the language in which they use. Now, I have been very clear. I do politics in a particular way. There are things that are said by others in opposition and other political parties I would not say. But I cannot enforce my style of politics on every other political party. They have to take responsibility for themselves as leaders and as role models and as members. My job is to ensure that the conduct when it comes to the operation of government is as we
sure.
Would
does that extend to? Does that extend to electoral financing? There have been questions raised by Radio New Zealand concerning New Zealand First's use of the New Zealand First Foundation. More questions being asked in other media today.
And again, obviously, those are rules that apply to me as a leader of a party as well. And those are for the Electoral Commission, as you'd rightly expect. They're the ones that determine whether or not the law is being upheld. And that's rightly where that responsibility should sit, given that I equally am in charge for my own party's electoral financing.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, thank you very much for your time.